how's everybody doing? You guys okay? Welcome, welcome. So glad you're here. You know, this is a really special weekend for us here at the Vineyard for a couple of different reasons. One reason this is a special weekend is because here at the VC campus, we are celebrating water baptisms, which we just saw. Let's give it up for those who are just water baptized. Way to go. That's such an important step in a person's spiritual life. And we do these about every 6 weeks. This weekend, overall, three of our services, we're going to be baptizing about 34 or 35 people. So that's always great. But if you are a follower of Jesus and yet, for whatever reason, you've never been water baptized, that's an important next step for you to take. And so you need to take our water baptism class. You can do that online. And then hopefully in about 6 weeks, we'll be celebrating your water baptism. And then the second reason that this is a really special weekend is because our Reveal Vineyard campus is joining us online this weekend. And so let's give it up for our Reveal peeps that are joining us online. So glad that you guys are with us. You know, if you're new to our church is, it's one church, but we have two locations here in VC and our other campus, and we call it Reveal, but it's in El Mirage. So if you know people living out there, they can go there. People around here go here. So we've been doing a series on worship for the last few weeks, and I want to talk about the centrality of worship. But before I do that, I want you to think about a question for a moment. You know, why do followers of Jesus go to church? Why do we? I mean, this has been happening now for 2,000 years. People all over the planet, every tribe, every race, every ethnicity, every tongue has been going to church on a regular basis, followers of Jesus, for the last 2,000 years. Why do followers of Jesus do that? I mean, have you ever thought about that biblically? Not just, well, you know, that's what we do. No. I mean, why? Why theologically, why biblically do followers of Jesus go to church on a regular basis? I mean, think about it. You could listen to worship songs on your phone. You can download your favorite Bible teachers and listen to them teach. Why go to church? You know, I found that a lot of followers of Jesus are confused. They don't really know why they go to church. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've never really thought about it deeply, you know, theologically or biblically, and so you're not really sure what the importance of church is. And when you're not sure, like a lot of followers of Jesus are, it causes a lot of confusion. And our God is not a God of confusion. In fact, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33 says, our God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So God does not want us to be confused. He certainly doesn't want us to be confused about why we go to church. And so my goal is that when I'm done teaching in a little while, there'll be no confusion with anybody here at VC, anybody at Reveal, anybody else online. There'll be no confusion whatsoever about why followers of Jesus attend church on a regular basis. And in a nutshell, the reason that we attend church is that attending church revolves all around worship. It revolves around worship. Say the word worship out loud. Worship. It revolves around worship. Now, if you have a Bible, you have an app, I want you to open it up to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 19 to 25. That will be our main text that we study today. Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. I want to begin in verse 19. The writer of Hebrews says this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter into heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. Now that sounds kind of lofty, kind of difficult to understand. So let me explain it a little bit to you. In the Old Testament, your experience of God would be strictly through the priest. If you were a normal person and you believed in God, you could never really have an experience personally with God. Your experience of God would be only through the priest. Because in the Old Testament, Acts chapter 2 had not happened yet. Therefore, the Holy Spirit had not been poured out upon all followers of Jesus yet. And so you, as a normal person, you could not actually have an experience with God. In fact, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would occasionally come upon or anoint or alight upon certain people at certain times. Usually kings, priests, and prophets. But regular people like you, like me, we could never experience God. But the truth is, if you really wanted to have an experience with God, you had to actually be the high priest. The high priest. See, once a year, on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the high priest would enter into what was known as the Holy of Holies. Now, I read out of the New Living Translation, they use the vernacular of the most holy place, but most other translations call it the Holy of Holies. And I want to remind you that there were three parts of the temple in the Old Testament. There was an outer court, and that's where the Gentiles were able to go. There was an inner court, where Israelites could go, women could go, and some priests could go. And then there was the Holy of Holies, which was a place where only the high priest could go, and only one time per year. Now, the Holy of Holies was separated from the inner court by a 6-inch thick curtain or a veil. And behind the curtain or the veil was the Ark of the Covenant. And that is where believers in the Old Testament believed that the presence of God resided, that God resided behind the veil, in the Holy of Holies, right above the cherubim in the Ark of the Covenant. And only the high priest could go in there, and only one time a year. So they believed the presence of God was contained behind the curtain, behind the veil. But you and I, as normal people, we could never really experience the presence of God, because he was behind the veil and we could never go in there. But when Jesus died on the cross, one of the things the Bible says happens is that the veil was torn in two. The curtain was rent. And, you know, among other things, that was symbolic of the presence of God now being loosed upon all mankind. And so now, all believers can have an experience personally with the presence of God. And see, the main reason that we come to church and gather together as a church family is so we can corporately experience the presence of God. That is the number one reason why followers of Jesus are to gather together regularly as church families all over the world, is so that we can corporately and individually have an experience with Almighty God. Now, Thora, my wife, mentioned this last weekend if you were here when she was teaching, there's actually a spiritual dynamic that happens when we gather together like this to worship God, whether it's in a small group or in a church service or whatever. And theologians call that the pneumos of God. Pneumos is the study of pneumatics. And the pneumos of God is where God's presence actually comes and fills a particular geographic location, like a home or like a church building. And when the presence of God comes, oftentimes you can actually experience Him. There's a warmth, oftentimes, that might come in the room, or sort of a thickness in the air. Oftentimes, an incredible sense of peace will settle down. And that is our goal when we come to church, to experience God. Not just to learn about God, but to actually have an experience with Him. We want to experience the presence of God and be encouraged by Him. We want His presence to refresh us and renew us and revitalize us. Now, I want to tell you just a little bit about me. Those of you that have been around a long time, you know quite a bit about me, but those of you that have not, I did not grow up going to church at all. I had no church background growing up. I became a follower of Jesus through a pretty miraculous situation that happened when I was a senior in college. I was 22 years old, coming up on 10 years ago now. I had that experience of the Lord when I was 22. And shortly after that, I met my wife. Her name is Thora. We got married. And Thora and I got involved in this wonderful little Baptist church that was being pastored by a guy that we had known in college. And it was a great church. I mean, we were taught the Bible in that church. We were encouraged, you know, to grow and to get involved in ministry in that church. We were taught the importance of tithing in that church. Lots of wonderful things. However, in that church, we never expected God to actually show up in one of our church services. We didn't have that mentality. We'd never thought about the presence of God actually meeting with us when we gathered together in church. And maybe, just maybe, for some of you, that's been kind of your mindset as well. You haven't really understood that you're supposed to have an encounter with God when you come to church. See, the Bible says in Psalm 22:3, the Lord inhabits the praises or the worship of His people. Now, that word inhabit, it's the Hebrew word yeshab. You might remember that the Old Testament originally was written in Hebrew. It's the word yeshab, and that word means to sit down or to dwell or to remain or to settle or to abide. See, that's why we spend the time singing to God and worshiping God that we do, because we want God to actually show up. We want Him to inhabit, sit down among, dwell among us when we gather together. That is our goal when we come to church. Now, some people who come to the Vineyard for the first time will talk to me or one of the other leaders or pastors, maybe after the service, and say something like, you know, I really like the service, but man, when are you guys going to stop singing so much? And when are you going to get on with the important stuff? Well, they don't understand. Maybe this is you. That is the important stuff, is worshiping God, singing to God, giving your heart fully to God. And the amazing thing is to get God to show up in our services, we don't have to beg Him. We don't have to try to twist God's arm, cut a deal with Him. All we have to do is worship Him And he comes and he inhabits our praises. The Apostle James said it like this: draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He will. As we draw near to God in worship, both as individuals and as a church family, he draws near to us. But you know what? The opposite of that is also true. See, God doesn't usually come to church services unless he's invited. See, God wants to go where people want him, where people welcome him, where people draw near to him. And I don't know about you, but my attitude is, man, if God doesn't come to our church services, then why should we even have them? They're a futile exercise unless God shows up. Now, I know some of you might be thinking, well, Brian, I thought, you know, God was in my heart. And now you're talking about all this other stuff. Well, he is. He is in your heart. When you receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, he, by the Holy Spirit, comes inside of you and lives inside of you. But see, experiencing God and his presence around us or upon us is different than experiencing God in our hearts. Let me just show you one brief example of this in the New Testament, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, this is talking about the early church, they had a prayer meeting. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. See, that is an experience of God, isn't it? God's presence came so powerfully that the actual building shook. Look at the way King David says it in Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That word taste, it means to perceive. And that word see means to enjoy. We're to perceive and enjoy the presence of God. God's presence is like spiritually delicious. And it's to be experienced. It's experiential. Now, many of you here at this campus at VC, and many of you at Reveal, and many of you online, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what experiencing the presence of God does for your life when you come to a church service. I mean, you know, all of us, we come to church on the weekends, and the truth is, just because we're living in the world, we're oftentimes burdened when we come in. Heartaches of life, problems, hassles of life, all that. That's just normal. Life happens. But as you begin to worship God, God comes, Yeshab, and he begins to lift all of that stuff off of you. And you get recharged. And you get revitalized and refreshed. And you get refocused on eternal things. And the fact is, nothing may have changed in your circumstances, but you've been changed. God changed you simply because you came in contact with the presence of God. And that's why this is so vital for all of us. To have an experience with God when we come to church. That is why we come to church. We want to corporately and individually experience God's presence. Now look what happens when we experience God's presence going on in Hebrews 10. Verse 21, the writer says, and since we have a great high priest, he's talking about Jesus, who rules over God's house, let us go right into the what? Presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him, For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. See, that is what experiencing God's presence does. It sprinkles our hearts clean from a guilty conscience. In other words, when we encounter God, it softens our hearts again. It softens our hearts toward God. It softens our hearts toward our family, toward our coworkers, toward the broken and the hurting and the downtrodden and the poor. It softens us toward other people. That is why it's so vital. Because the truth is, our hearts become calloused so easily just because we live in the world. We're out in the world trying to make a living, just going through life, and our hearts can easily become calloused. Calloused toward God, calloused toward our families, coworkers, neighbors, friends, all of it. But when we experience God, that callousness begins to get, as the writer says, sprinkled clean off of our hearts. And our hearts become tender again. And that's why it's so vital. Now, when it says at the end of verse 22, our bodies have been washed with pure water, that's referring to an inner cleansing of which the washing of the priests in the Old Testament was a symbol of. And that's what happens when you and I come to church and we have an experience with God. We get washed inside of us, in our hearts. So we don't come to church so we can feel less guilty. We don't come to church because it's some duty that we're supposed to fulfill. No, we come to church and gather together so that we can have an experience with God Almighty. Look back at verse 22. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. That is what coming to church does. It sprinkles us clean. It washes us again. And it's wonderful, and it's exciting, and it's vital to our walk with God. Now you might say, well, Brian, why can't I just do that at home? Well, you can. You can have experiences with God at home. And you should. But there's something different about experiencing the presence of God corporately with your brothers and sisters in Christ than it is individually. There's a difference. There really is. In fact, Psalm 87, verse 2 says, the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwelling places of Jacob. Now, the gates of Zion, that represents God's heavenly city where all followers of Jesus will one day gather together and worship God. God says, I love that when all the people are gathered together worshiping me. I love that more than just the individual dwelling places of Jacob. See, in other words, God has made us incomplete without each other. He wants His church to gather together corporately and be His body. So you know what He does? He withholds certain things from us as individuals that we can only experience as a group. Writer of Hebrews goes on in verse 23, says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And I want you to underline verse 25. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. See, the fact is, you and I can only continue in our walk with Jesus with any sort of vitality or passion or fervor if we are regularly experiencing God's presence and being encouraged to love and good deeds by other followers of Jesus. And that cannot happen alone, by yourself. So I want to tell you, as your pastor, you need to be involved in a local church family. Because without that, you are going to become more and more lukewarm in your walk with Jesus. You know, that's why so many followers of Jesus backslide so easily. Have you ever known any followers of Jesus who have backslid before? Don't look at them right now. You all know. I mean, most of us in this room, we probably had seasons in our life where we've kind of backslid. You know, I know the people at Reveal, they've never backslidden. But everybody else, you know, at the Vineyard, we've done that before. Well, why do we do that? Well, oftentimes, it's because we're playing right into the devil's hands. The devil's trying to keep us away from being encouraged to love and good deeds by our brothers and sisters. He's trying to keep us away from having an encounter, an experience with God Almighty. And so we become hit and miss in our church attendance. We become more and more miss than hit. And we're not having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. We're not being encouraged, and we go week after week, month after month, and then we come back for a week and we don't really have an encounter with God, and then we wonder why we backslide so easily. It's so easy. And when we do that, we're playing right into what the enemy wants. And so when someone says something like, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian, do I? Well, theologically, no. But if you want to have any effectiveness in your Christian life, you want to have any vitality, any fervor, any passion, then the answer is absolutely yes. Yes, you do have to go to church. There's incredible value in going to church and gathering together on a regular basis, and it's all about worship. So don't blow it off. Don't blow it off. I know sometimes it's, you know, church is coming up. It's like, man, I just don't feel like going to church. Bummer. Go anyway. Push yourself through. You know, you're not going to want to go to church all that often because the enemy's going to make sure of that. So push through. Don't live your life, your Christian life, according to your feelings. Live your Christian life according to doing the right thing. You know, when Jesus walked on this earth, he was always in the temple on the Sabbath. That was his day of worship. Luke 4:16, many other verses say this, as was his custom, the custom of Jesus, he was in the synagogue on the Sabbath. He's our model. He was in his place of worship on his day of worship. That's supposed to be our model as well. So the main reason we come to church is to experience the presence of God. However, God's presence can be really strong in a small group or in a church service, and I don't really experience anything. That's happened to me before. But it's happened to you before. Why is that? Well, oftentimes, it's because we're not personally drawing near to God. So I'm going to give you four quick ways to help you experience God's presence at church. And the first thing is you have to prepare yourself to experience God's presence. You know, so many people feel like if they just make it to church on the weekend, even if they're 30 minutes late, it's like they've fulfilled their highest calling. You know, like they have the gift of church attendance. That's their spiritual gift, you know. So if I just get to church, but there's no preparation to have an experience with God. And if you come to church on Sundays, Preparation starts the night before. If you come to church on Saturday night, then your preparation starts at least on Saturday afternoon. You know, for people who come to church on Sunday, Sunday should be the most looked forward day of the week for followers of Jesus. You know why? It's because we get to meet together with God on Sunday. We get to experience God's presence in a powerful way. But what happens is, so many people who come to church on Sunday, they stay out so late on Saturday night, not necessarily sinning. I mean, I know some of you are sinning, but not all of you, not necessarily. You're just out late that when you get to church, you're so tired from being out late and lack of sleep, there's no alertness, there's no energy, there's no excitement, you're exhausted, you're sleepy. So you need to be wise about Saturday night. And it's a sacrifice. You know, way before my wife and I ever became pastors, we made a commitment that we were not going to be out late on Saturday night because we wanted to be at our best when we went to meet with God with our church family on Sundays. So that's part of preparation. Sometimes there's a sacrifice to it. Another part of preparation is prayer. Prayer. That morning, if you're going to church on Sunday, and all through the week, what do you pray about? Invite God to come. You know, James says we have not. Why? Because we ask not. Do you ask God to come to our services? Do you welcome God? And another thing to pray about is pray that your heart is ready to receive from God. You know, it's that Matthew 13, that good soil. Pray that God would make your heart good soil for his word. And another part of prayer is pray to be used by God that day at church also. You know, I hope that you're serving in some way, whether it's in children's ministry or youth ministry or the ministry team or ushering or greeting or compassion ministry or the coffee bar, you know, parking lot, whatever you're doing. I hope that you're serving. And when you come to serve, prepare. You know, part of preparation is don't make a church service all about you. Don't make it all about you. Be friendly when you come to church. Smile at people. Act like you're happy that they're here. Greet them, welcome them. I mean, wouldn't it be awesome if all of us did that all week long, asking God to show up in our services, inviting him, welcoming him, asking God to use us, being friendly to everybody? Wouldn't that be great? So preparation is one way to experience God's presence. The second part is plan on getting to church early. Oh, Brian. Say it ain't so. Think about it this way. You don't go to work late. Why is it okay to meet with God late? Just saying. I want you to know, getting to church early will not happen without serious planning. Because if you go to church on Saturday night, the devil is alive and well on Saturday afternoon in your home. If you go to church on Sunday morning, the devil is alive and well on Sunday morning in your home. All kinds of things happen. You're tense, you're rushed, you're trying to get here, you get in an argument on the way, you know, in the car, or whatever. Right before you get in the car, somebody says, I have to go potty. And you find out that was your spouse saying that, you know, have to go back. You're rushed, you're tense, you're angry. By the time you're emotionally ready to worship God, the worship time's over. The worship time in song was wasted. So plan on getting to church early. Because if you're early, you're relaxed, you can worship God on the very first song. All right, so plan to get to church. Third way to experience God's presence is when the service begins, focus on God. Focus on God. So simple, but so often we don't. Don't focus on the band. Don't focus on your bulletin. Don't focus on other people and what they're wearing or not wearing. Don't focus on what you're going to do after church. Focus on God. That's a willful decision. It's that fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. See, every time you come to church or every time you go to your small group, you have a choice. Am I going to let everything else go from my mind that's going on in my life, and for these next few minutes, focus all of my mind, all of my attention, all of my heart on God Almighty, and give myself fully to Him in worship? Or am I just going to allow my mind to go with the flow? Because if you allow your mind to go with the flow, very little real worship will be happening between you and God. You know, it's that 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. As we come and we behold the glory of the Lord in worship, He transforms us into the same Spirit from glory to glory. So focus on the Lord. And don't forget this. God, as we're focusing on Him, He's a person. So focus on a person. He's not a blob. He's a person. He's a real person. Read the way that He's described by John or Revelation 1 or Revelation 4, and focus on that person when you worship. And that leads to the fourth way to help experience God's presence is then sing to that person. Sing directly to that person from your heart. And that's why it's good to memorize the song so you can close your eyes. Give your entire being in worship to that person. That's what Paul's saying in Romans 12:1. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him, which is your spiritual service of worship. So let's recap really quickly. Four ways to help you experience God's presence. Prepare to experience His presence. Plan on getting to church early. When the service starts, focus on God. And fourthly, sing to a person. And remember, that's why we gather together. It's to worship God and have an experience with Him. And as you do that more and more, you will love it more and more, and you'll grow in your relationship with God. So we're going to practice this just for one song before we go. So could everybody please stand? Those of you that are at Reveal, Pastor Daniel's going to, and the team there, they're going to lead you in a song. And then when they come back, when you're done with that song, Pastor Marty will take the remainder of the service. For those of us at this campus, I'll come back and close the service.